Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith. He's Derek Terry. Kentucky improves to 3-0, survived a scare versus UT Chattanooga yesterday at Kroger Field. Derek, what do you make of Kentucky through three games right now?
Well, it was not what I thought it would be. I don't think it's what anyone thought it would be. It definitely got to a point yesterday that it went from any thoughts you had about getting some work in for other guys. I mean, it quickly became a game that you were going to have everyone all hands on deck. So I guess the best thing you can say is that they did get a win. Made a couple plays late that they needed to, but we're recording this at about 11 a.m. Sunday, so we've had a little while to digest it. I've not gone back and watched this game yet, but I guess, Sean, the one thing, well, I want to preface this. I don't want to sit here and ramble for 10 minutes. Wanted to get your opinion, I guess, on what I'll ask is, what things happened in that game that would maybe concern you for later? Because I do think there's a certain level of emotional, and Stoops was saying it from basically last Saturday night on, that like they put a lot into that game against Missouri. So I think that was kind of ripe for a letdown. I just didn't think it would be that much of a letdown.
Chris Rodriguez had no room to run. That kind of concerns me a little bit, but then you have to go back a week ago and he had all kinds of room to run. So I don't know. I don't really know what to make of that. We've seen Kentucky run it effectively. We've seen them not run it effectively. We've seen them throw the ball pretty well. It just seems like the balance has just been off to me. Like, for, we've talked about this offense being more balanced. They were really balanced against ULM, but it felt like, you know, Missouri, obviously they ran the ball a lot. Yesterday, Levis, you know, threw the ball a lot more against Missouri. I don't really know how, if that's going to continue, if it's going to be a game-to-game thing. What was the total split yesterday with runs and pass? Maybe I've not looked at it overall.
35 passing attempts and 27 rushing attempts, but Levis attempted 28 passes in the first half, so he only threw it 7 times in the second half.
And see, that's what I'm talking about. I still think this offense is trying to figure out exactly maybe its ground and its footing on to be more balanced. And I think by game 6, 7, 8, this offense will kind of be more balanced within games itself. Like, I was surprised they threw the ball as much as they did in the first half, honestly. But then when you're talking about Rodriguez wasn't getting any room to run, I don't really know what you're doing. And it threw me off too early in the game when it's Kavassier Smoke getting all the touches on drive one. I don't want to say anything about it either because they went down the field and scored, but it threw me off. It felt like a game where early, I think, they tried to get some guys going. I just don't think they ever really got in a rhythm after the defense allowed that score there early in the game to tie the score. Now, let's say that they don't score there, Derek. Kentucky gets the ball back and they go up by 14. Maybe it's a different game, but at one point yesterday, I thought they were going to lose. And I said, this is going to be worse than Southern Miss. It's going to be the worst loss they've had for sure under Stoops. Like, this is horrible. And I started thinking, like, how in the world are we going to spin this and talk about it? Thankfully, we don't have to. But I'll just ask you now, do you think Kentucky's good, or do you think that this was more just a trap game coming off the emotions of last Saturday, going back into SEC play? They've been hearing nothing but great things about them. Everybody talking about how they should be ranked. Kentucky's a top 10 job. Will Levis is this, Chris Rodriguez is this, Wandell's this. Do you think that had a lot to do with it?
On the topic of if UK is good, like I said, I would not underestimate, like, there's a line here. Like, I would not underestimate how much that Missouri game took out of them. Whenever you have a game like that I think they had circled since that game had ended last year, and then they get to the summertime, they see the schedule come out, they see Missouri's week 2, and it's sandwiched between 2 out-of-conference opponents. I mean, I think they invested everything from the offseason into winning that Missouri game, and they did. And to hear Liam Cohen talk yesterday, kind of own the fact that he didn't think they prepared very well for he himself to not, like, prepare a very good run scheme for that game. And then whenever they – it's like they almost treated it like a scrimmage.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, you're right. Like, you don't have Rodriguez out there to start the game. At least I don't think he did. I mean, Kvasie, I think, had almost every carry that first drive, right?
Rodriguez was in for the first snap, and then he came off the field.
Yeah. So they were trying to get smoke going. Chauncey Magwood had a false start on the very first series. He was out there on the opening series. I don't think he even played last week against Missouri. So I do think, and Liam basically admitted that they were just trying to work on the passing game. And I understand that. Like, you want to work on some things that you think you're maybe a little deficient at before this game. I mean, you got a tough stretch coming up now. You got, you know, you don't go back non-conference until the next to last season, next to last game of the season. So we have seen them before. EKU 2015, they played very poorly, probably should have, like, I would say even more than yesterday, they should have lost to EKU.
Yeah.
In 2015, they found a way to win. 2017, they didn't, but here's what I'm going to say. 2017 against EKU, I think they were down in the second half of that game too, came back and won. The next week, they went down to South Carolina, played very well. Probably their best win that season. I believe that South Carolina team ended up winning 9 games after the bowl. And then in 2015, they lost the next week, but it was a Thursday night game against Auburn. They played fairly well. I mean, like, there was not a hangover from them playing poorly the week before against FCS opponents. So I don't think the preparation, like, I don't think you'll see them come out flat next week. I think they'll get back up. But the things I want to say, that we're through 3 games now, and it's still almost too early to, like, make some assumptions. But, Sean, like, one thing that will derail this season more than anything is the turnover problem. I mean, they are, I think, -6 now on the season. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You cannot be negative in the turnover margin and expect to win very many games. I mean, you saw what happened to Louisville last year. I think Louisville was second worst in the country. They did not have terrible talent last year at Louisville, and they had a very poor season. And a huge reason was because they turned the ball over so much.
Yeah. The good news to me, if you're a Kentucky fan, is had they played South Carolina yesterday, they would have lost. If that had been an SEC game, they would have lost that game. So that's a good thing that this game was following Missouri, and then you get to jump back into conference play because you know that this is obviously going to motivate them again. The one thing that stands out to me, though, that I'm going to continue to be concerned about, and Mark Stoops said that he thought they had great pressure, no sacks against an FCS opponent. That concerns me, Derek, about a defense that has as many dudes back as what they have and all the experience that they have. That concerns me as we get into this part of the schedule where they're going to be playing Florida. They're going to be playing LSU. If they can't get pressure, and it's not just about pressure to me, it's about making plays. Now, I know Pascal got great pressure late in the game on a play, but there has to be more created from that side, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, they threw it UTC Chattanooga, they threw it 35 times. So I'm trying to do some math right here.
And they dominated time of possession, 32 minutes. An FCS team came to Kroger Field and
had
the ball 32 minutes. That just can't happen.
They won one of Mark Stoops' favorite stats too. Whenever you outrush an opponent, I don't know what he says, the percentage of times you win, but Chattanooga had 171 rushing yards compared to 102 for Kentucky. I mean, one kid averaged – both their main running backs, and one kid only had 6 carries. They both averaged over 6 yards per run. I mean, it was that would be concerning to me. And I think it goes back a little bit, and Stoops has said this a lot. If you were someone who listens to his press conferences, he says it numerous times a year that you can't just show up on Saturday and flip a switch. So I do think that was this case. Like, I don't think – and I mean – Cohen is probably a little bit more honest than you'll see a lot of coaches, but there's just no chance that they prepared well this week. And it's not the first time we've seen this with the Mark Stoops team where they come out flat. And I mean, there's almost, you can pretty much pick out any game per year with the non-conference team where they don't really play that well. I mean, even the 10-win team they ended up winning by a couple touchdowns week one, but it was ugly for a lot of that game. I guess the turnovers are a huge problem. You're right, the sacks. I mean, I don't know what the defense ranks. Maybe you can pull it up in terms of total defense. But, like, it's been fairly disappointing, I would say, for the experience they have, what we presume to be the talent. I mean, we know the cornerback is an issue. I mean, especially the depth. I mean, they have – they're trying to play two guys mainly and then sub in Quandre Mosley here and there, who Mosley was probably wouldn't even be a cornerback if they didn't have such depth problems anyway. He'd probably still be a safety. So that's concerning. Just the all-around defense right now, I mean, they got to find some answers. It just seems like it's too easy right now for teams. And for the most part, like, yeah, they got hit for a couple big plays yesterday, probably more than either team the first two games hit on them. I mean, they had a 48-yard run and a 33-yard run. Chattanooga did. That was concerning. But I guess, Sean, what are some things that – and, again, it's tricky because, I mean, three games, it's not – you know, it's not nothing – at this point, but it is almost still too early to maybe draw a whole lot of conclusions because they're not even really into the SEC schedule yet. But what are some things that you do feel like with this team will be good? You know, what are some areas that you do like about this group?
Not really an area, but I will say when their back's against the wall, they find a way to make a play, even through all the bad. Like the offense, UT Chattanooga takes the lead. They could have put a ton of pressure on themselves right there, Derek, and lost the game, made another mistake. They stepped up. Will Levis goes, I think, 21 yards on a quarterback scramble on third down. Then they go to Wondell. They get a pass interference call there. And then they find a way to get in the end zone. I thought that is encouraging. This is an offense that Missouri matched them, tied the game there late in the game last week. Kentucky's offense answers with the game-winning touchdown drive. They trail UT Chattanooga in the fourth quarter. Lose all the momentum, boom, offense finally puts it together, goes and scores a drive. Defense makes plays at the end of the game, interception yesterday, return for a touchdown, and then make the play at the end of the game last week against Missouri. I think that stands out to me, that even through the bad, they're still finding a way to make plays and win. Now it's just about cleaning this thing up. But the one thing that I want to see too, and I mean, it helps. Epps had a touchdown catch yesterday. Cummings had a touchdown catch yesterday. Wondell Robinson with 14 targets. Like, I know Wondell's really, really good. Ali with 8 targets. I just think that they need to get a third guy there. Somebody needs to emerge and spread that thing out a little bit more on offense, because, like, let's say it happens. Wondell takes a lot of hits. Let's say he takes one, Derek, and he goes out of the game. We were at that practice that day when he got banged up and he was sitting there, and they looked pretty bad after he went out. So that kind of concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a little – I think Wondell needs double-digit targets per game. Like, I think that's a pretty good number, what he got yesterday. He's actually the one area that I would say is, like, for real. He already has, I think, 300 – I looked it up yesterday. I mean, he is well on pace. If he plays a full schedule, he is going to shatter what Lynn Bowden – like, Lynn Bowden had the best season – I think he had 67 catches for 745 in 2018. Wondell, with the yardage, Wondell is going to surpass that fairly easily, I would say, if at this current pace anyway. I mean, he's had over 100 yards every single game. If he maintained that pace, he would, you know, have over 1,300 yards a season, which I don't know if he'll quite get there. I mean, there's probably bound to be a game where he doesn't put up huge numbers. But, I mean – I just think he gets targeted so much more because he's one of the guys that gets open. I mean, Ali had a pretty good day yesterday. He had the touchdown rush, 5 catches for 53 yards, had 8 targets. That was good. But I don't disagree with you that they need to get someone else. I just think I don't know that they've even really force-fed Wondell. I honestly just think that he's just – I mean, obviously he's Levis's top guy, so he's looking for probably every play, but – The second throw that got picked off, there wasn't a ton of separation, but a better ball, and it could have been a completion. Like, that was not as poor of a decision, I thought, as the first one was bad. It's really the first time this year we saw Levis force a ball that just wasn't there. And I know Epps caught a touchdown yesterday, but I still feel like if there is going to be a third guy, it's going to be one of those tight ends. Most likely Rigg, I would say. He had 3 catches yesterday, but they were all very short. It was good to see Cummings catch his first touchdown, and he had 3 targets. So, I mean, they targeted him last week a few times. So, I think he's coming along, but the run game is what's baffling to me. And you're right. Like, first game, it's like they didn't really need it just because they threw the ball so well. Second game, and maybe Missouri's defense truly is just like that bad. I don't know. But when you can line up and run 3 for 340 yards against an SEC team, like, no one last week was concerned about the run game, right? And then you come back this week and you barely break 100 yards. It's just very confusing as to what they are.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You mentioned to me yesterday there was a key third down there late in the game, and Michael Drennan is the running back. And it was – what was the down and distance? It was third down. What was the distance on that play? Do you remember, like, third and two maybe?
On which one?
There was a play there late in the game.
When they got stopped.
You looked at me and you said Michael Drennan's on the field on third down, on third.
Oh, yeah. I think that ended up being the – I might end up being Levis's long run. Yeah.
It was. But just that kind of surprised me in that situation.
We also had Austin Dotson and Jeremy Flaxon on that last touchdown drive. They ended up getting taken out. But, yeah, it was – man, it was weird.
And back to the receivers and targets. I agree. Wandale needs around that many targets. But I just think that if this offense is going to beat good teams, like really good teams, then it needs Ali. It needs – a Justin Rigg and Isaiah Cummings. It needs someone else, Derek, to make plays. Now, last week, it was Rodriguez on the ground in addition to Wandale. I just think that they need that. To me, that second guy, whether it be on the ground, whether it be somebody in the air, they need that second guy that's going to make plays, that's going to keep this offense moving. Because at some point, I mean, I don't think Wandale can do it all. As we go through the schedule and they start playing these better teams, I mean, Florida and LSU and Georgia, they need someone else. But the one thing that I will say, though, is that you did have guys make explosive plays. Epps' touchdown was 20 yards. Cummings was 31 yards. So at least they had those chunk plays that made – that those were big plays in itself. The two throws that – now, Levis showed – he showed his weaknesses. He's still throwing behind guys across the middle of the field. He almost had another ball picked off yesterday that had batted up in the air. I know he throws the ball with such a high velocity, Derek, and if that timing is off just a hair, the way he throws the ball is going to bat up in the air quite a bit if it's not on the money the way he throws it. So, but the thing that stands out to me too is he comes back and he makes plays. Like the two throws he had yesterday, the one to Wandale down the sideline and then the touchdown to Epps, back-to-back throws, those were two beautiful throws.
I don't know how he didn't get drilled on that first one to Wandale. I mean, I can't remember how many. I think they might have brought eight on. I mean, they sent a lot of guys on that third down, and he was pretty calm in the pocket, found just enough room, and he found Wandale on a good throw. I still feel like there's enough on this offense to have it, and you're right that they did. They had Levis had a 21-yard run. Wandale had a 39-yard reception. 20 yards, like you said, for Epps, and then 31 for Cummings. And they were just a hair off on a few other deep throws. Wandale could have had a touchdown catch on the first drive. Cummings was – I don't know whose fault that was. I do think the ball was a little bit overthrown, but it was almost like Cummings couldn't really see it in the air either. But he was somewhat open. I mean, they were just kind of a tick off, and it was bound to happen. I mean, I think Levis's accuracy downfield through two games was pretty incredible. I don't have an exact number, but it felt like every time they took a shot, they hit it. And that was bound to, you know, not happen. I mean, those are low percentage throws for the most part, just because there's so much that has to go right on them. But I think Wandale is absolutely good enough against, I mean, you know, you might run into a Georgia. I know LSU has two great cornerbacks with Stingley and Ricks. So I'm not saying he's going to be able to, you know, run free on a lot of teams. But in general, like, I think he's a very hard matchup for a lot of teams. But I still wouldn't say anyone else, though. Like, even Josh Ali, I don't think, is, like, a very difficult matchup for a lot of other SEC teams. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, yeah, they need to find some more guys to get developed, but I don't know that it's really going to happen for them this year. Like, there's still a reason they're recruiting wide receivers so hard in this class. I think you're going to see them at least one more transfer next year. I mean, I think you kind of have to be under the assumption that, you know, Wandell's on a one-year plan. Ali's probably your next best receiver. He's going to be graduating. So, like, that's an area for sure that they need to continue to address. But I almost feel like the guys that they're going to count on next year, outside of, like, Cummings, like, they're probably not even going to be around. Like, I think Upshaw will help a lot next year. But I think that wide receiver room, you know, you got to hope that these guys you brought in can kind of develop, but it's going to be hard for him this year. Like, Magwood at this point, it's played in two games. He had one target, but it was when Bo got hit that first game. So, like, it looks like they're trying to work him in, but he's not even really had a look when he's played with the first team offense. So I don't know what to think of him. Maybe he'll continue to come along, but I would have liked to have seen what Crowdis could have done, because I think he was well on his way to playing. He would have been another guy with some speed that could at least put some pressure on the defense. And I guess he might still come back at some point. I've not really heard anything on him. I don't think he's even practicing yet. So if he does come back, I don't think you can really count on too much from him at this point.
No, and one thing, though, that you can say is this offense, the passing game has already improved. So what, they had 7 touchdown passes last year, if I'm not mistaken, total? And I'm pretty sure that's what Terry had. Nobody else threw one last year, did they? Bo didn't throw one.
No, Gatewood didn't. Mm-mm.
So Levis already has 7 touchdown passes. So they've already matched what they threw for last season.
Yeah, I mean, he should go over 1,000 yards next, you know, assuming they don't get held under 200 against South Carolina.
One more thing, though, and this is what concerns me about the secondary and the defense, is you had guys every time that we were at practice, Derek, like Rashawn Lewis, standing out. Have we seen Rashawn Lewis?
I think he had one catch against ULM.
Yeah. So, like, guys are standing out in your practices against your defense, but then you don't see them in the regular season against ULM, then an FCS opponent, and then Missouri. That, I don't know, that kind of worries me about this defense as we move throughout the season here. The defense was the unit that we were kind of the most confident in, given what they had coming back, 10 seniors. We thought that they would, and they've not been horrible. I mean, they still make plays. And I'm assuming that when you look at, if we go pull up where they're ranked and stuff and total yardage and things like that, I think they would still be pretty solid. But that might change here in the next 3 to 4 weeks if they don't get some things figured out. I've not got all the numbers pulled up there. I don't know if you have.
It's not been updated yet on the NCAA website anyway. That's usually where I go to, and it's not been updated. So, no, I think you're right. I mean, college football week to week, it's such a reactionary, kind of a small sample size sport. But has your opinion changed on final win total after yesterday?
No, I want to see what they do Saturday. If they look like that again Saturday, then yes.
I absolutely think they're going to play better against South Carolina. But again, like, they're – to me, like, the things you mentioned with the defense of the pass rush, like, it's very concerning. I think more than anything, though, you just cannot live in the minuses with the turnovers, and that will get you beat. You know, Kentucky's not going to be able to turn the ball over 3 times a game and expect to beat any good team. I mean, you can still get to a bowl. You know, the winning 3 more games on the schedule should not be hard to do, but I mean, everybody had higher expectations than that. And if, you know, I think it's going to be a hard time even getting to 8 wins if they continue to turn the ball over at this pace and they don't force enough turnovers. So those two things have to, well, I mean, you can live with 1 or 2 turnovers a game, but you can't, I mean, -6 against the teams that they've played is pretty bad.
Well, and here's the difference too, that you look at. So they turned it over 3 times yesterday. That gave UT Chattanooga 12 points, which means they held to field goals on a couple of times. They're not going to do that against the great teams. They're not going to do that against the Floridas. They're not going to do that against the Georgias, the LSU. If they turn the ball over, those teams are going to make them pay, and not pay with 3. They're going to make them pay with 6. That's what's got to get cleaned up. That if this team has any shot at getting to that 9-win mark or beyond, they've got to clean up the mistakes. 8 penalties, 60 yards, 3 turnovers, 12 points off those turnovers. They've got to be better.
It was just sloppy yesterday. It was bad.
Honestly, since I've been covering the program, it's the most boring game I think I've ever set and covered. Like at one time there was a grasshopper that landed on the press box window in front of me, and I watched it for like 5 minutes.
There was some good news yesterday, and it was very much out of nowhere.
Yes.
Tyrese Fearby, a 4-star defensive end, which is obviously an area of need in this class. He's out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, kind of out of nowhere, committed to UK. And this is a very significant commitment. He is the second highest rated guy now in the composite. He's 182 overall with a .9264 rating. This is very good. I mean, that's you pair him with Keaton Wade. That's two very good guys on the edge for this defense. There is some thought, and I don't want my words to get twisted, me saying that this kid's not going to sign with UK. There is some thought from people who have covered him in other markets for a long time is that he's, you know, they're not real sure that he'll stick. I mean, he's already decommitted once from Penn State. This is a second commitment, but I read, and I don't know if he actually made the visit, but I read that he was actually at Pittsburgh yesterday before he committed to UK. So I don't know that he actually made that visit. I think he was planned to. But assuming he does stick, this is he's one of the better kids they've signed in the past few classes. His .9264, if you go to the current roster with the composite ratings, that's a top 1, 2, 3, 4. He'd be the fifth highest rated guy on this team.
God.
So, I mean, this is like a very significant commitment for Kentucky.
I didn't expect that yesterday.
No, I did not either.
Leaving the stadium. I'm driving over to the Fans First Fan Fest for basketball, and I get your Twitter alert where you had tweeted it out, and I was like, what? Like, I didn't know that we were going to have to be preparing to talk about a football commitment, but no, man, it's a big one. And you're talking back-to-back commitments that are big for areas of need on this roster. They need cornerbacks. Got one. They need edge rushers, and they need those things, Derek. And I mean, it's good to see that they've got them coming in that class.
Yeah, and if he was actually at Pittsburgh yesterday, he did not see a very good performance because Western Michigan beat Pittsburgh 44-41 yesterday. So, obviously, Kentucky's performance wasn't great either. Probably happy that game was not easy to find if he didn't have ESPN Plus. So, I think that's about it for me, though, Sean. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I think we threw in
some good news there at the end.
Just one note on Wandale Robinson there. Wandale Robinson tied Derek Abney's record for most consecutive games with 100 yards. Derek Abney did that, Derek, in 2001 in a stretch against Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. So Wandale will have a chance.
So he could set a record next week, huh?
He could. Wandale will have a chance Saturday night in Columbia to break that record. And if I know Derek Abney, Derek Abney will be in Williams-Brice Stadium Saturday night to watch that game. So I'm going to send Derek Abney a text today. Derek I've been a pretty good friend of mine over the last 5 years. I've had him on other shows and talked to him multiple times for stories. I did a cool story with him 2 years ago with Lynn about Lynn Bowden. So I've not talked to Derek probably about a year. So I'm going to reach out to him, see if we can get him on the show this week. I think that'd be a good time to get him on. He lives in South Carolina. So he always, that's the one game he always makes it to, Derek. So I know he'll be there.
Yeah. Also, some news, SEC Nation will be at Columbia this weekend for UK, South Carolina. So this is going to be a sellout, I'm pretty sure. At least they're hoping it's going to be a sellout. It's the first home SEC game for South Carolina. Of course, they got drilled last night by Georgia, but I think most teams probably will. This will be a very hostile environment Kentucky's going into, but we'll talk about that this week. We'll focus on South Carolina some more.
Yeah, and you need to see Kentucky go down there and take care of business. It doesn't need to, you don't need to have any doubt. Leave no doubt. And that gets your mind right, ready for the next stretch of games.
If they lose this game to South Carolina, I mean, I think it changes a lot of things. It becomes even more critical. You can pick up one of those games in October. So,
and we'll get into that and stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that this week. I just now sent out a tweet for the mailbag. So we moved those to Mondays. So get your mailbag questions in. The mailbag will close at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. We'll cut that off because we're going to record early, probably more than likely. It's what we did last week. But as always, this show is powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub, 3 locations, one in Palmville, Williamsburg, and London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you this week on Kentucky Daily.